Good morning. This morning, together we celebrate Pentecost, in which 2,000 years ago, God poured out His Spirit on the Christians. Let us look at today's verses from the New Testament, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Acts 2 verses 1 to 4. If you do not have a Bible, you can watch the screen. Acts 2 verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I have a dream that I have been holding since I became a Christian. It is that all who believe in Jesus Christ can be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no greater dream that I can have. And so I am happy to share this morning to tell you about the historical fact that God, the Holy Spirit, has come upon Christians who believe in the Lord Jesus as He promised. Because God the Holy Spirit has come, we have come to know God. Because God the Holy Spirit has come, we are assured of salvation. Because of God the Holy Spirit, we can rejoice in the knowledge that there's a spiritual world that is unseen, but far more certain than the visible one. Because God, the Holy Spirit, has come upon us, we can truly believe that there is no more attractive way to live than to believe in and serve Jesus Christ. And we hold this in our hearts. And because of God, the Holy Spirit, I can now love others, not with human love, but with the love of Jesus Christ, and that's what I think of as love. Because God the Holy Spirit is the only one who can change people from the bottom up. Recently, when I look on myself, I discovered I have a habit. It's the habit of thinking I am righteous, and what I think and do is right. Is the habit of thinking, recalling, and trying to convince myself of my own righteousness. Everyone, what do you think? How about you? Do you have such a habit? The disciples who followed Jesus also had such a habit. They had this habit of thinking that they were righteous. They would say, "Shall I fire from heaven and burn them?" about their enemies. But the event, the historical event that completely overturned their beliefs was the coming of God the Holy Spirit upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. During the Old Testament period, when the Israelites passed through the wilderness, crossed the Jordan River, and entered the land of Canaan, where milk and honey flowed, they began farming to cultivate the land instead of their previous nomadic lifestyle. And then they brought in their first harvest of grain in bundles before God's altar and presented the bundles to the Lord God while shaking those bundles. And after they counted 50 days from that day, the great harvest day would arrive. At that time, the harvest was in full swing. Not only grain, but also grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and various other agricultural products were harvested and offered up. The 50th day of Pentecost is a day of celebration, commemoration, and thanksgiving to God for the arrival of the great harvest season. It is very significant that the Holy Spirit came on this Pentecostal season. Our Lord Jesus came to this earth. He was crucified. His flesh was torn. His blood was shed. He died for the salvation of mankind. And 3 days after his burial, he was resurrected. And so Jesus was truly the first harvest, the first fruits, who was born as a human being, died, and came back to life. And so we can say, the Lord Jesus himself went before the Lord God and offered himself as a sacrifice to God as the first harvest. And the day of Pentecost came on the 50th day after Jesus' resurrection. About 120 people gathered at the home of the parents of Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. And there they were praying fervently, as with one heart. And a fiery tongue suddenly appeared with a violent wind from heaven, and it came upon each one of them, filling them with the Holy Spirit and causing them to speak in different languages as the Spirit spoke to them. And then those who believed in Jesus Christ were raised one after another, and from this time on, a great harvest of countless souls began. The act of worshiping by offering the great harvest of agricultural products in the Old Testament, this offering to the Lord God, was a propitiation or a foretelling. It was a foreshadowing or prescription of the great harvest of men that would occur in the New Testament era, when at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would descend upon those who believed in Christ, and countless souls would be saved by hearing the words they spoke. And if we look at the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, God, who came on this day of Pentecost, if we look at those characteristics one by one, we realize that there are great meanings and deep significance in them. First, the Holy Spirit came with a violent wind. When more than 120 believers in Jesus Christ gathered at Mark's parents' house and prayed with one heart for 10 days, the Holy Spirit of promise came like a gust of wind and filled the whole house with that wind. Wind is a strong movement of air. It can blow away heavy things and bring in new things. There can be no more beautiful sky than the blue sky after a typhoon that has blown away all the dirt in the air, engulfing it and carrying it away. Sometimes you will see signs posted at city halls that say, "Photochemical smog warning in effect." But even though the dirty air makes your eyes hurt and your breathing difficult, when the wind blows, fresh air flows in and fills your lungs. The wind that blew at Pentecost symbolizes that blowing away. It blew away what is old, obsolete, and unclean, and brought in what is new. And this wind of the Holy Spirit is not a wind that blows in this world. It's a wind that comes down from heaven. It's not a wind that we humans can create. It is not a wind caused by a natural phenomenon. The wind of the Holy Spirit is a holy wind sent by God the Father, who is seated on the throne of heaven, and by the Lord Jesus, who is at his right hand, and it came upon those who believe in Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is accompanied by this wind, and it represents God's great power coming to this land and opening the door to a new history. So what do I mean by newness? What kind of newness is this? The world is rotting and crumbling, and God has blown away this worldliness within us and opened a new door of a large scale, spiritual renewal that we have never experienced before. The vitality, vibrancy, and life of the kingdom of heaven, that great power that came from the tearing of Jesus Christ's flesh, the shedding of his blood and his death on the cross, which removes sin, removes hatred, it removes fear and worry, it removes death, coming to the disciples and to us in the wind of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This promise happened just as it was promised. It is the work of the Holy Spirit who came with the wind, who comes in each of us individually, in each of us, in our families, and in our society, and is the cause of transformation, of that great work of transforming each of us, our families, our society, and the world into the kingdom of heaven. It is the Holy Spirit who came to change all of our lives with animation, with life that through the atonement of the cross of Jesus Christ is the true life. Through the Holy Spirit, individuals are transformed, families are transformed, society is transformed, and the whole world is transformed. A fisherman, a tax collector, a follower of a particular political party, and ordinary people of the world were instantly transformed when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they changed Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all of Europe, and even the whole earth to its very ends. Today, there is not a country in the world where there is no Christian who believes in the true God, who prays and desires to serve him somehow. Pentecost is the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit who came with the wind that blows away old and evil things to establish in our hearts and our spirits the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the eternal new gift of love and the salvation of the cross of Jesus Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, one cannot truly become a person. Healing cannot occur. Blessing cannot occur, and eternal life cannot be given. In verse 2 of chapter 2, it says that the wind of the Holy Spirit echoed through the whole house. In another translation, it filled the whole house. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit fills the whole person, the whole personality, the whole being. He does not come upon only one part of us. He is one who fills our spirit, our mind, our body, our thoughts, our home. And from there, our society, our nation, our world, and all the domain of our universe. The Holy Spirit is the God of great and true transformation. But the Holy Spirit is not the only one who can bring about a great and true transformation. Let us look at John chapter 14, verse 17. Jesus was one of our number, or Peter was one of our number and shared in our ministry. But the world is hostile to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we cannot see or know or accept the Holy Spirit. But those who love the Lord Jesus know the Holy Spirit, and that's why they pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. People will not be changed by the words of others, nor will they think others are better than they are, nor will they risk their lives for the Lord Jesus. It is the gospel of the cross on Mount Calvary that will be the power that radically transforms each person, but only through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and only through the wind of the Holy Spirit that fills the entire house will there be a spiritual renewal that transforms the land and fills each one of us. So the prayer that we should be asking for now, in all times and in all places, is to be filled with the flame of the Holy Spirit. The second characteristic of the Holy Spirit was that this Spirit appeared as a fiery tongue, a flame, and stayed on everyone. In Acts 2:3, the Holy Spirit is described as being like a flame. A flame brightens the darkness. When the fire is lit, the darkness disappears. In other words, the Holy Spirit, who appeared as a flame, came to illuminate our darkness and sweep it away. Natural-born human beings do not know where they come from, why they live, where they are going, because they are in the pitch-black darkness of guilt and sin. They are drunk with worldliness, thinking only of what to wear, what to eat, and what to drink. They think only of worldly riches and prosperity. And they don't know what will happen tomorrow, and so they live in fear of what tomorrow will bring. Everywhere, tomorrow is nothing but death, though. But it is a lie that death is the end. The Bible does tell us that if we die without faith in Christ, what lies ahead is eternal darkness. In this reality that we human beings face, God the Holy Spirit came and brightened our hearts and spirit with fire. He has clearly illuminated and shown us where we come from, what we live for, and where we are going in Christ Jesus. And therefore, the eyes of those who know the Holy Spirit shine. As Jesus said, the light of the body is the eyes. The eyes of those who know the Holy Spirit shine. The Holy Spirit shines in eyes that have been clouded because they don't know what is going on. Because now they do. And the Holy Spirit, who came as fire, warms us. No matter how cold we are, He gives us a warmth in our souls that can never be taken away. When we live in this world for a while, we soon realize that the world is unexpectedly harsh and cold and merciless, and no matter how much mercy we receive and how much kindness we feel, it is all transitory and makes us thirsty. No matter what kindness we receive, we thirst again because it is not perfect mercy with a trace of coldness in it. It is imperfect. But when the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, He melts our hearts with His fire. He gives us heart to pray. He warms our hearts through His prayer. He causes our affections to well up and transforms us to know His love, to seek His love, and to share this love that we have sought and received with our neighbors. This is how He transforms us. And so it is the work of the Holy Spirit, who came as a flame that warms and heats our cold hearts, our hearts that somehow always remain a little bit cold. Fire is the source of power. When the Holy Spirit comes to us, our hearts are filled with power, the strength to pray, to seek the Word, to live as witnesses and proclaim Christ, and the power of faith comes forth in the Holy Spirit. Fire is a symbol of the consumption of all things, the melting of all things, and the making of new things from them. Fire is the source of change of creation. When the fire of the Holy Spirit desires, we experience change. We are made into new people. Let us look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This fire of the Holy Spirit came upon each one of them on the 50th day, the day of Pentecost. Not from under each one of us, but from above. The Holy Spirit is not some force or key, as in Star Wars. Our God is a God of character, emotion, mind, and will. As the wind blows freely, God the Holy Spirit is an omniscient and omnipotent God who freely works according to his own will for ultimate good. And it should be obvious that God the Holy Spirit is not to be used as our tool or servant. And yet we often try to use the Holy Spirit as if he were a tool or a servant. We often use expressions like use the gifts, but all the gifts given by God the Holy Spirit are above us, not under us. The gifts given by God are for God the Holy Spirit to use us according to his will, not for us to use only for our benefit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to remind us that God has ownership of our gifts. The Holy Spirit is God. God who came to abide over us, to teach us, to rule over us, and to guide us far beyond our original selves. So the best we can do is to acknowledge, welcome, serve, and trust this Holy Spirit. And we can only hope and pray that he will occupy our hearts, govern us, teach us, and guide us. That he will work in us. We pray that he will fill our hearts. Jesus called God the Holy Spirit the helper. But it's not just that. He is the one sent by God the Father as the Spirit of Christ to help us. And so, those who have received the Holy Spirit are no longer alone. Don't people all feel loneliness? But feeling loneliness as a lonely being, as a being who is truly alone, is quite different from feeling loneliness as a being who is connected to God through the Holy Spirit and is not such a solitary being. Surely, loneliness can be painful, but if we know that the Helper is with us, we can wait for that loneliness to find its way and disappear from us for a time. We are not solitary. Just as the wind is right behind us, beside us and within us, God, the Holy Spirit, is with us and in us, waiting to help us. As the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, enlightenment, spiritual insight, gives us knowledge, talents, and counseling to live out our lives and help us to worship the true God in spirit and in truth. the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is here to help us. And all of these gifts, wisdom, enlightenment, spiritual insight, knowledge, talents, and counseling, are in him as we worship the true God. Another characteristic is that the Holy Spirit appeared as tongues of flame, and all who were filled with the Holy Spirit who appeared with these flames began to speak as the Spirit caused them to speak in many different languages, including foreign languages. In Acts 2:4, we read, they began to speak in other languages. The Greek word translated many other languages is the same word translated tongues in other Bibles, and such as in 1 Corinthians. In English, it is translated as speaking in tongues. In other words, the word translated as various different tongues may have included the tongues of angels, as described by the Apostle Paul, and the words of the kingdom of heaven, which only God knows. In any case, when the Holy Spirit dwells on a person, their language changes. The Epistle of James reveals this little tongue that utters the words that runs through all of us. James chapter 3, verses 4 to 10. The book of James. The letter of James, chapter 3, verse 4. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest can be set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. There is nothing more fearsome than a person's tongue, nothing more frightened than the tongue of man. You do not need a weapon to kill a person. One word thrown on us is enough. This little tongue rules our body and shows everything about who we are. What kind of character we have, and what kind of place we have lived and are living in. All these things are shown by our tongue. With the words that come out of our tongue, we make people live, we kill people. We move people, we move history, we create things. And in the end, this world was created by the Word of God. One of the various symptoms of our sinning as human beings, created in the image of God, is that our words have become cursed. When in Genesis, Adam was held accountable for the sins he committed, he cursed his wife, to whom he had just sung a love song. He said, "It is this woman's fault." Having been cursed, his wife Eve lashed out at God's creation, saying, It is the fault of this snake. When the Holy Spirit came to us human beings, though we had tongues full of such cursing, when he came to us with tongues of fire, the language changed. They began to speak words of love, of the love of Jesus Christ, of salvation, of words that make people live, words of love, and began to speak the gospel that had never been spoken before. And those who heard those words were struck in their souls by the love of Christ and were transformed into believers in God. They were transformed from being people who spoke negative words, condemning and judging others and insisting on their own righteousness, to people who spoke positive words, standing up for and defending others, not fearing their own mistakes, but confessing with honesty and reverence. When I think about how words changed when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, I remember the time when I myself was touched by the Holy Spirit and transformed into a believer in Christ. I was frustrated in my college life, so I took a leave of absence from college when I was in my junior year and went to the U.S., where I met Jesus. Once I was converted as a believer in Jesus, I felt a sudden urge to express my gratitude to my parents in Japan. I had never thought of expressing my gratitude to my parents until then, but I felt the urge to do so, and so I went to buy postcards and wrote in large letters with an autograph pen something like, "Thank you for raising me. I love you," in large signature pen letters, and I sent it to my parents in Japan. And of course, my father and mother and sister were astonished. Now, I think that I was able to experience such a way that words change when the Holy Spirit comes. That was my personal experience. Also, the original language in which I first heard the gospel of Christ was English, and the words of the Bible I heard when I believed in Jesus were also in English. The second original language in which I heard the gospel was Korean, and it was when I came to Tsuchira Megumi Church that I first heard the gospel in Japanese, since I came back to Japan. I think that I have told you that before that I wanted to go to a seminary overseas instead of a seminary in Japan after graduating from college. One of those reasons why I did not want to go to seminary in Japan was because I did not want to learn about the gospel of Christ in Japanese. For me, Japanese was the original language in which I had formed my bad side, where I learned words like, "You bastard, you idiot, you son of a bitch," or "I'm going to kill you." And I didn't want to study theology in a language which had such words. So at first I thought, I don't want to go down the path of speaking the gospel in Japanese. But strangely enough, God, the Holy Spirit, continued. He stayed in me. He changed my thoughts about the Japanese language, leading me to pray in Japanese, to read the Bible in Japanese, to speak the gospel in Japanese, and to speak of the Bible in Japanese. He has changed even my very language that I use to spread the gospel. And now, of course, speaking the gospel in Japanese more than any other language is my greatest joy, although it's difficult for me. When the infilling of the Holy Spirit made me realize that Christ is God's Savior in everything, and that there is life only in living according to Him, a fact that I can never deny again, I was given what is called tongues at a youth camp. I started praying in tongues which were not Japanese or Korean or English or any other language that I know of in this world. I do not know what I was saying. I just feel the presence of God all over my body. God knew very well that I have a stubborn heart, that I would not believe unless I saw it or touched it or actually experienced and felt it. And he gave me a marvelous experience of faith in which tongues came out of my mouth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, I thank God that I pray and speak in tongues more than any of you. Those who pray and speak in tongues grow themselves. Therefore, do not forbid to pray and speak in tongues, he says. If the gift of tongues has been given to any of you, please use it to deepen your relationship with God and grow in your faith. However, if there's no love in order to care for others, it is nothing but a noisy gong or cymbal, as Apostle Paul says. If there's no love, then there is nothing, nothing of any use, nothing at all. I do not forbid or deny tongues, because the Bible tells us of them. However, the most important thing here is love. The Holy Spirit did not come on us with tongues of fire to give us the ability to speak foreign languages fluently or to give us strange tongues to make us feel complacent, self-absorbed, self-glorified. Rather, the Holy Spirit came to bring words of love to help us express the love of Christ. Whatever words we speak, when the Holy Spirit abides over us and in us, our words are changed. The words of those who have received the Holy Spirit are different from those who have not. The Holy Spirit causes us to speak truth, leads us to speak hope and love, to speak positive words of trust in God and of loving others, to proclaim the Lord Jesus' righteousness, reconciliation, healing, grace, his eternal life and salvation that have been granted to us. The Holy Spirit also fills us with words that he delights in and seeks to fill our lives, our homes, our societies, our organizations with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit remains and works on those who love Christ to create a world rich in the presence of God, this Holy Spirit, which we, the Japanese society, have not yet seen. And so, before the Holy Spirit appeared with fiery tongues on the day of Pentecost, the Bible was written in Hebrew and Aramaic and could only be read by Israelites, the Jews. And no other ethnic or racial group could have anything to do with the Bible. However, after the Holy Spirit appeared with tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost, the forgiveness of sins of the cross of Jesus Christ for all mankind came to be spoken, transcribed, heard, and believed in the language of each person. Of each people, they could hear the Bible and the gospel of Jesus in their own language. And therefore, after Pentecost, the work of God began to spread the message that the God of the Bible is the God of all peoples, and that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all mankind, bringing faith, hope, and love to people all over the world without distinction. Pentecost is the day of the declaration of the great harvest of souls, which truly marked the beginning of world missions. We cannot believe in God only by knowledge, nor can we live a life of faith only by our own will and by formal behavior. We cannot change our families, our society, or the world with our plans and ideas. To turn our lives, our destinies, on their very foundations requires an immense force, a change. The one who came with fierce wind, with fire, with a fiery tongue, who filled us with great power of holiness, this is God the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we receive power. Only that power can change us fundamentally. Only by spiritual renewal by the Holy Spirit do we become truly new. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you fulfilled your promise through Jesus Christ, who was fixed to the cross, died, and raised again to heaven, and fulfilled his promise, bringing the Spirit to us. And the Spirit came upon us and changed our lives, changed our spirit, gave us true newness, and filled our spirits. We seek your Spirit. We wish to be filled with your Spirit. And fill us with your Spirit. This we pray. Please rule us, guide us, teach us. Use us. Bring us into your domain. And with the strength from your Spirit, please fill us, that we may do your will. Please help us. 2,000 years ago, according to Jesus' promise, the Holy Spirit came down on the disciples, and now in this age, we too, one by one, seek to have your Spirit. We give you thanks. We know that the Lord Jesus will fulfill his promise and send his Spirit upon us. In the name of that Jesus, we pray. Amen.